My commandments and do them. Then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Father, we are thankful for the privilege it's ours to gather here again tonight. We thank you for this place that you've given us. And God, as Brother John prayed tonight, Father, as it's on our hearts, we do pray that you would help us to sell the church building in Cambridge. Father, just so that we might be free of that debt and that extra expense. Lord, use our money wisely here as we need it. And so we do pray that come about, Father, would come to fruition and things would go well. So we pray for that. We thank you again for the privilege we have of meeting here tonight. We pray, Father, for our service now. May you bless us with your presence. Father, give us a sweet spirit. Father, teach us from your word here tonight some things that I know are not new truths, but Father, something that will just be reinforced by what we read tonight in the word of God. Bless our time around your word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Change us. Conform us to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to be more like him. To desire to be more like him. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse number 3, we find a promise of God to bless the nation of Israel. A lot of the times the things we read in the Old Testament don't seem valuable or important to us in the New Testament, and they're not. God says to Israel here in these verses, in verse number 4, I'll give you rain in due season. Well, we like rain. Brother Darrell probably, and Reynolds, some of you that have gardens and all that. Sonia has one, of course. Those that have gardens, pay a little bit of attention to the rain. But most of us, generally speaking, most of us don't really care if it rains or not. If it doesn't rain for about a month or so, we get interested. The grass turns brown, things get dry. But we're not like ancient Israel was, that their livelihood depended on rain. And so we read that and we think, well, that's nice. God's promising to give them rain. That's good. But we don't think that. But that's one of the blessings that God promises. You know, take it out of the Jewish context of the rain, which doesn't mean that. But just God saying, I'm going to bless you. I'll give you this blessing, he says in verse 4. And the land shall yield her increase. Again, you and I don't see the value of that. As long as there's food on the shelves at the grocery store, it doesn't matter to us. Now, the farmer that's planting it cares whether there's increase or not. But again, for you and I, we're not like the Jewish mindset back then, that they are eating that day what their own hands grew out there in the field. Even in old America, it was that way. So right now, we don't really get the value of that except to say God says, I'll bless you in this way, and I'll bless you in this way. Notice in verse number 4, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Wonderful. Those of you that like apples and pears and all that kind of stuff, God says, I'll help your trees too. I don't have any of those in my yard. I don't eat a lot of those. Most of you, many of you probably are that way too. We do eat them sometimes, but so it doesn't have the value that it did to an Old Testament Jew. That doesn't mean it wasn't important to them. But God is saying something that was very important to them. God says, I'm going to bless you in this, and I'm going to bless you in that. Don't you think they appreciated that? Don't you think that was a value to them to hear them say, God say, I'm going to bless you in this necessity. And in this necessity. And see, God goes on all the way down to verse number 12. And we're not going to read all, but in verse 5. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing. And ye shall eat your bread. Can I tell you, without spending a lot of time, there are 26 individual specific blessings listed in those verses right there. 26 of them. 26 specific things. If you want to go, what you can do, here's how you can find him. This is what caught my attention as I'm reading, and this word kept popping up over and over, the word and. God said in verse number 4, Then will I give you rain in due season. Notice, and. There's 25 ands in the verses that we read tonight. I've got them all circled. He says, I'll give you rain in due season. So that's the first blessing. And the land shall yield her increase. That's the second blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. That's the third blessing. Now again, I'm not going to go through all. But notice every time in verse 5, and your threshing shall reach in the vineyard, and the vineyard shall reach, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land. There's 25 of the ands, plus the original one in verse 4, I'll give you rain. So 26 specific blessings that God is promising Israel. Who wouldn't want that? Who in here wouldn't want God? Not in the Old Testament context, but let's take it into our New Testament context. Who in here wouldn't want God to come down to you and say, I'm going to bless you, Brother Daryl, John, Brother Eric, Diane, whoever it might be. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. And he goes on 26 times. Who in here, after God says this, this, and this, and says three, that's enough. I don't want any more. After five, God, stop. I don't want any more. I think every one of us is going to say, God, pour it on. God, just keep going. I don't stop. Don't ever stop. Keep blessing. Keep giving. Would anybody say, I don't care? God picks 26 different things that he said, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. I recommend when you go through there, that's why those little words like and are so important. Because every time you see it popping up, God's saying he's adding another blessing to what he's going to do for Israel. He's going to do this and this and this and this and this. And people today say, that's what I want from God. I want the blessings. I want him to do that for me. Why isn't he doing it? Why don't I see that? Can I tell you that all those 26 things are conditional? You know what conditional means? If you do this, then notice in verse number 4, he says, then I will give you rain. Then I will give you rain. He says, I'll do 26 things for you if, verse number 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Again, I know we're in an Old Testament context and all these different things don't mean as much to us. Of course, we get down to verse number 9. And I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Verse 10. And ye shall eat the old store. Again, Old Testament context. And bring forth the old because of the new. Verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God and ye shall be my people. But all those are conditioned on verse number 3. If you walk after my statutes and keep my commandments. You know what that means, folks? It means you can't live like the devil and expect God's blessing. It means you can't live an inconsistent Christian life and then turn around and say, but I want God to help me. You know who most of the time, now all of us have our struggles. But you know most of the time as a pastor I hear somebody say, I don't know why God doesn't do something. I don't know why he doesn't help me. They're usually people that are not living dedicated Christian lives. They're usually people that are inconsistent in their dedication to Christ. They are not committed to him. They think he's a God that, you know, if I feel like going to church, I go. If I feel like doing right, I do right. If I feel like doing wrong, I do wrong. And then God's supposed to turn around and bless me anyways. And God says, here, I'll do this and this and this and this. And how foolish can we possibly be to have a God that's willing to bless us so abundantly and so tremendously and just says, all you've got to do is walk in a way that pleases me and keep my commandments and keep my stand, and I will do all of these things. How foolish is it to not do it? And yet, how many times do we not? God's blessings are conditional. There are some things in the Bible that are not conditional. Very few things in the Bible are not conditional. God's love is not conditional. God's love is eternal. It's everlasting. His grace and his mercy are eternal. They're everlasting. God's love is not conditioned. God so loved the world that he gave. It doesn't matter what anybody does. God still loved them enough to give Jesus Christ on Calvary. Salvation, once it's received, is unconditional. Once you're saved and born again into the family of God, you are a permanent member of His family. It's unconditional. A lot of folks don't believe that. I understand that. It'd be like this. Miranda's here. I'm going to pick on her. Not for anybody. Let's say Miranda came up. I shouldn't have picked on her. Let me pick a kid that's not here. Joe. My son Joe. I don't have one of those. All right, my son Joe comes up to me. Now, this is not this Joe. I should have picked a name that nobody's here. My son Joe comes up to me and said, "Dad, I've robbed a bank." See, now I didn't want to pick up Miranda. "Joe, I've robbed a bank." Or, "Dad, I've robbed a bank. And in the robbing of that bank, I beat somebody up, a police officer. And they're going to put it in the paper, and it's going to say, Joe Lethley committed this crime and did this thing, and for the next 6 months, it's going to have Joe Lethley, all over the news, all over the newspaper. Going to bring disrespect to our family name. What he did is stupid. What he did was bad. What he did was sinful. What he did was wicked. And so I call up my son Joe Lethley and say, I just want you to know this. I went down to the courthouse today and disowned you. I signed the papers. I changed your last name. You're no longer my child. You're no longer my son. What you've done has embarrassed me. What you've done has brought shame to our name. I no longer love you. I don't want anything to do with you. Can I say, go to hell? You say, that would be a terrible father. That would be a terrible individual. And I agree. So how can we think that God, the wonderful, loving Heavenly Father in heaven, would look down at somebody because they did this thing or that thing? You fill in the blank, whatever you want to put in there. Did this thing or that thing, and that God says, all right, now that you've done that, see, you were my son by faith. I adopted you, you know, and brought you into my family and saved you. But now that you've done that, get out of here. I've disowned you. Go to hell. That's what we're saying if we believe that God's salvation is not unconditional. That His salvation is not eternal. That God would turn around and disown a child that was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful there's some things that are unconditional. But now having said that, there's some things that are conditional. My son Joe does that and goes to jail. Joe, don't expect me to run down there and try to bail you out. Don't expect me to come. You're still my son. I'll visit you. I'll write you letters. But you've broken the communication. You've broken the fellowship. You've broken the closeness we can have. If you hadn't done that, everything would be okay. But now that you've done that, our relationship has been damaged. That's what God is saying in Leviticus chapter 26. If you will walk, if you'll be obedient, if you walk after me, then I'll do this and I'll do that. There's a smile on his face. He's happy. He wants to reward his children. He wants to bless them, but they have to walk obediently. Go down to verse 14. In verse 3, he said, if you walk in my statutes, if you walk in them, then I'll do this, 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 and this. Again, none of them about the salvation of the soul. Once they're his children, if you'll do this, I'll do this, this, this. Notice what he says in verse 14. But if you will not, there were 26 blessings listed that God gave, if you will. But now he says, but if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. Verse 16, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption. Now here's that word again. And if you walk and keep my commandments, my statutes, I'll do this and this and this. And every and makes our smile get bigger. Every and makes our teeth glow whiter. Every and just puts joy and rejoicing in our heart. We are walking and keeping His commandments and being obedient, and God is saying, I'll do this for you and this for you and this for you. What a way to live. But then He says, but if you don't walk the way you know you're supposed to walk, If you don't do the things you know you're supposed to do, if you don't get rid of the sins you know you're supposed to get rid of, then God says, then I will do this, and this, and this. And the ands start adding up all over again. Notice it says in verse number 16, I will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, that's the first thing, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Counting verse 16 where he says, I will appoint over you terror, consumption. Then there are six ands after that. So there are seven things, seven curses, not blessings, but seven curses, God says, seven judgments, God says, I'll put on you if you don't walk after my commandments and don't walk after my statutes. Seven things. Then you know what I find in verse 18? A second chance. God will do those seven things and then he'll take a pause and he'll speak to their hearts again and say, now, will you get it right? Will you walk in my ways and keep my commandments so that I can bless you? What do you think God wants to do, bless or curse? He wants to bless his children, but it's conditioned on our obedience. And so he says these, he says, I'll do these seven things in verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, there's a pause. There's a chance for repentance. Then he says, I'll punish you seven times more. See, we just read about seven things, the six ands and the first one. He said, after seven times, he says, now it's a chance to repent. Remember Pharaoh and the plagues? Now it's time to repent. Now it's time to get it right. Now it's time to straighten out. I'm speaking to your heart. I'm drawing you to myself. Will you get it right? And you say no. Then he says, I'll punish you seven times more for your sins. Verse 19, and here we go again. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Verse number 21, another pause, a third chance. See, God is not the God of the second chance. Now he's the God of the third chance. Because in verse 21 he says, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. God, because of their disobedience or rebellion, God judged them seven times. Not by wiping them out and killing them, but by doing small things to try to straighten them out and bring them back. And after those seven times, he gave them space for repentance. And he says, if you don't repent, I'm going to do seven more things. Then after those seven, he says in verse 21, if you don't do it again, then I'm going to add seven times more. In verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me again, here's the fourth chance. Here's what God does. In love, he corrects. When he corrects us, when we receive the correction and we get back on the right road, then he can bless us. When we fight his correction, he has to correct us a little stronger. What happens when a criminal resists arrest? You know, first the policemen come over and they say, all right, you're under arrest, and they treat him firmly, but not too bad. Then he starts yanking away and pulling away from. What do the policemen do then? They have to use more force according to his resistance. That's a pattern that God does with us. God does what he has to try to bring us back. Then when we refuse it and turn away from it, he says, all right, I'll do something more. I'll do it a little bit harder this time. A first chance, a second chance, a third chance. Verse 23, a fourth chance. And he says in verse 24, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Four times he says in these verses, I'll give you pause. I'll give you a chance. I'll give you opportunity. If you turn away, I'm going to do seven more things. Now, understand what I'm saying right now. These are specifics. The wonderful thing about interpreting the Bible is in the Old Testament, God worked in specifics, and in the New Testament, God works in principles. When we read these things back there, you can't take this and put it into right now as far as the specifics of this thing. God's not going to make you be slain by the sword of your enemy. All right, those are particular to Israel. But a lot of people read the Old Testament and they say, oh, you know, what's this gibberish back there and what's all this junk? What's all that mean? Hey, hang on a bit. It's not old-fashioned. God is giving specifics that fit the situation of Israel back then. It doesn't mean we disregard it, but we recognize that he's going to have a New Testament principle that's going to show us that Old Testament truth. And he won't get specific in the New Testament, but he's going to tell us the same thing. If you, then I. That's the pattern he's setting down. Look back, if you would, at Deuteronomy. Again, the Old Testament, quickly first. Two books over from Leviticus, Deuteronomy chapter 11. That's in Leviticus chapter 26. When I was reading that a couple weeks ago, I just saw those ands just pop up, and I thought, you know, I've seen a couple of those. And then I started going back and circling them and noticing how many they were, and then looking in the context of what God was saying. And it just amazed me that it was so simple that God said, if you'll do this, I'll do this and this and this and this and this. And I thought, Lord, that's what I want. I want all those blessings. Not necessarily the ones that Israel's getting, but if you're going to give 26 blessings to anybody because they follow you and walk after you, I want those blessings. Then I read in verse number 14 where he started saying, but if you don't, then I'm going to do that and that. And I said, I want to stay clear of that. Isn't that the logical conclusion we would take? I want this, I don't want that. And yet I look out among professing Christianity so many times, and I see people that say they know Christ as their Savior, and you look at their lives, and they're not in the right one. They're not walking over here where they want the blessings, they're walking over here and challenging and daring God to do anything. And then if God does do anything, God's unfair. God's the one that's wrong. And this principle is all throughout the Bible. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here it makes it very clear, verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Verse 27, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord. Who said the Bible's hard to understand? He said, I'll give you a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord. Anybody not get that? Anybody need that in simpler English? And then in verse number 28, he says, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments. We can say it this way, the ball's in your court. It's up to you and I what we do. God says, here's my way, walk in it. Walk in it and be blessed of God. Resist my way, walk in your own. Walk in your own way. And receive for the way that you choose to walk. Then don't turn around and blame God. Don't turn around and say, God's unfair. God gives us those choices. Our fellowship with Him, not our relationship with Him, our fellowship with Him is conditioned on our behavior. My children are my children. Maybe I shouldn't tell them this. No matter what they do, they're going to be my kids till the day they die. No matter what they do, I will not disinherit them for anything. I will be proud of them or be disappointed in them. They'll put a smile on my face or a tear in my eye, but they're still going to be my children. And my God is like that too. The Bible, the portrait of God, is not a God that says, cross this line, do what you're not supposed to do, and boom, I disown you. I disinherit you. And so he says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 27, a blessing if you obey the commandments, and a curse if you will not. You want God's blessing, you're saved. You know Christ is your Savior. That's not the end of the road. It's not all over now. If it was, God might well have just killed you when you got saved and took you to heaven. But he left you here. Now he wants to walk with you and talk with you, as the song says, and tell you that you're his own. He wants to have fellowship with you. But he can't have fellowship with a dirty vessel. God's clean, God's holy, God's pure. So we need to walk after his commandments. Then we receive his blessings. We have better fellowship with our children who are walking in our ways than those children that are walking afar off. God has more fellowship with his children that are walking obediently than those that are walking afar off. Go, if you would, over to the New Testament then. John chapter 15. And we'll end our sharing here. You want God's blessing? Here is the Old Testament specifics that took a whole chapter, Leviticus 26, to explain. Here it is in one verse in the New Testament. Not all the specifics, not all the details, but to understand this verse in John 15, we just saw Leviticus chapter 26, we saw Deuteronomy chapter 11. They're there to set the groundwork for what we're going to read in the New Testament. They say the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now that we know these specifics, we can find the principle. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this, down in verse number 7. If ye abide in me, there's the condition. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. You know what that means? Doesn't mean you come to church Wednesday night and hear what the preacher says and then go out and do whatever you want for the rest of the week. It means God's words stay in your heart. It means God's words stay in your mind. Not that you're focused on them 24/7, but that you're having a continual relationship with Jesus Christ. He's your heavenly Father. Everything you are is about Him. If you're saved, everything you are is about Him. You don't have to be talking about Him. You don't have to be hooting and hollering or doing anything else, but everything you are is about Him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then he says in verse 7, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You want the blessings of God? You want your prayers answered? You want a relationship? You want fellowship? You want closeness to God? You know what he says? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you have a great relationship with Jesus Christ. You ask what you will, and it shall be done. God will do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. You know how we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You know, we come to special meetings because we want God to pour out, open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. We want to be obedient to Him and do what He wants us to do. And not just in coming to church, but in living for Him outside of these church walls. By not living one way when we're here. You ever gone to churches where people are like that? They're one way in church and another way outside of the church? God doesn't bless hypocrisy. He doesn't bless that kind of fake, phony kind of religious stuff. We've got to be the same out there as we are out here on Sunday morning. We can't say, oh, how I love Jesus in here, and then go out there and live for the devil or look like we belong to Him. Not and get God's blessing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Take this challenge tonight. Walk according to God's word. Walk according to God's will, and receive everything good that He has for you. I want it. I'll be honest with you. I'm selfish enough. I want it. I want God to bless me. I want Him to bless my family. I want Him to bless my relationships. I want Him to bless my job. I want Him to bless my car. I want Him to keep it running. I want Him to bless everything. And He says that if I'll keep in communion with Him and fellowship with Him, I can have that guarantee. But so many Christians want to live this kind of life and then run to God and pull Him back on the yo-yo string and say, okay, now I need you, God. Then when I don't, I'll put you back out there. Then when I do, I'll... The string gets cut. God doesn't work that way. If the life we live right now, the life we live on Wednesday, September 12th, 2011, is going to determine next week. It's going to determine next month. Say, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. You're laying up blessings on earth. God is going to bless you next month according to the way you live this month. God is going to bless you next year, 2012, right? Going to bless you next year. They're all running together now. 2012. God's going to bless you in 2012 according to what you do in 2011 as far as our relationship with Him. The blessings of God are being stored up by the way that we live for Jesus Christ right now. Take that encouragement to do all you can for Him right now. Live for Him right now. We're not asking you to be the next Apostle Paul, but do what we can in the realm that we're in. Love God, serve Him, be faithful, Examine ourselves. Know what our faults and our sins and our temptations and our tendencies are. And by God's grace, step over them and get over them and be in a place where God can bless us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Not yet, folks. You don't have to come for the instruments. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, it is clear. Too many times Christians know more about Dancing with the Stars and who's going to win American Idol than they know the doctrines and the truths of the Bible. And the world dictates that to us. The world tells us what we're supposed to think about and what we're supposed to focus on. The devil is very subtle. He's very swift. God, tonight we've seen simply from your word that if we would focus on pleasing you, God, you would bless us. And that's what we desire. Not for any selfish gain, Father. We're not talking about wanting money. We want your blessing upon our lives, upon our families, upon our relationships, upon our walk each and every day. And Lord, I know that walking with you does not mean no obstacles come our way. But Father, when they do, we've got a relationship built up with you that gets us through difficult times. So Father, thank you for the clearness of your word and these things that are explained in it. Help us to take this very, very vital and very clear and important truth tonight and apply it to our lives and challenge ourselves simply to walk in those ways that are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Brother John, Brother Eric, if you come up here just for a minute. I purposely made that short.